This week is Parashas Mishal, Parashas Shira. Let's start with a vart, which I think is it's a good vart. You'll tell me what you think of it. This vart to me appeals, resonates with me. Paro vahi b'shal paro esha'am v'lo nachma l'kim yachal erich t'polishim ki karayfu. Okay, so Paro sends out the Jewish people. And let's jump ahead. Pasuk Yutes. Vayikach Moshe atzmos yosefim. He takes. No. Let me go back. I'm sorry. Let's go back one pasuk before. Pasuk Yutes. Second pasuk. Vayasev elokim esam derech hamidbar yamsuf. Hashem directed them a roundabout way. Vachamushim alu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. What does that expression mean? Most of us know the Drush, right. Not the Pshat. Right. The Drush is they went out only one-fifth left Egypt. That's a Drush. Four-fifths of the Jewish people died in Egypt. And according to the Medrash, some say it was one out of 50, and some say one out of 500. All right, whatever that means, it's very, very difficult. Mamari Chazal, what that means, whatever it means, that's not our focus. I want to learn now the Pshat. Rashi says the Pshat Vachamushim means armed. They went out with weapons, a cache of weapons. Everyone had cash. I think you can say both. There are two that you can say both ways. But a cache of weapons, you could have. Everyone had a submachine gun, some grenades, RGBs. You had whatever you wanted. You had laser guided missiles. Okay, they went out with weapons, the most advanced weapons of the day. We think today, you know, in our day, so in Israel they have tanks and they have F-35s. The first time an F-35 from Egypt. Egypt. They got it from the Egyptians. Vayishalom. 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 They borrowed from them, or it was given to them. They took from them. Today, you know, the first time an F-35 was ever put into the battlefield was used in war was in Israel. Israel, America gave them a whole collection of F-35s, and they used them. They actually used them. The F-35 has been around here for 15 years. It was never, ever used in battle until about a few weeks after the first one was delivered to Israel. And Israel went and they used it in Syria. They actually used it to drop some high-tech bombs on their enemies. Okay, today, Israel, they make the best tanks. They make submarines. All the industry, the weapon industry, the military industry is lucrative. It's what keeps the economy going all over the world. We discussed this once at length. So Israel has, you know, Jews like to carry weapons. So when they left Egypt, it was no different. Whatever the ultra-high-tech weapons of the day were, the Jews had. They had the best stuff. Vachamushim, armed with weapons, alu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's what it says. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Ches says, let me find it over here. Vachamushim, shloi tisme. Ein chamushim, the first Rashi, another word, ela mizuyonim, armed. Lefisha hesibon bamidbar garb chamushim, because Hashem knew they're going into the desert, Hashem warned them to carry weapons. They're going down the road, a local neighborhood, on the BQE, it would not be necessary to have weapons, tanks. If you go on the BQE, you can always stop off at your local 7-Eleven, Dwayne Reed, and buy whatever you need. But if you're going in the desert, who knows? The only reason why we know this information is to awaken us. Shleitisma, when we come later on in Chumash and learn about four major battles, you shouldn't wonder where did the Jews get the weapons to fight these battles. B'mulchemes Amalek, u'b'mulchemes Sichon, v'Oig, u'Midyan. It says that they smote their enemies with a sword. And here it says they had the weapons. Okay, very good. Now we come to the next pasuk. Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. He took with him, Moshe took with him bones. The bones of Yosef. Why? Ki ashve yashmias bnei sholem. Because Yosef made them swear. Poko yivkar lukim eschem. Vali semes atzmosai mizeh. All the commentators, all the darshanim, I can't give you a name, but many darshanim, they say that Moshe also was looking for weapons. But Moshe was a chleiv chacham yikach mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a different level. And Moshe said, we need weapons. That's right, we need weapons. The ultimate weapon is spiritual weapons. And I'm going to look for Yosef. Yosef was the person who was the first one to come down to Egypt. He was the first man to come down to Egypt. He was able to survive as a religious Jew against all odds. Nearly impossible to be oimed in the nisyonos of Eishes Potifar and everything that came, the entire package. The zechus of Yosef is our ultimate weapon. So Moshe was also looking for weapons, but he was looking for a spiritual weapon. And the spiritual weapon are the bones of Yosef, and happened to be incidentally that anyway we had no choice to take out Yosef's bones, because Yosef made put upon us a shavua that when we leave Egypt we take his bones with him. Yeah.
Can we say that Yosef is the one who's going to go connect to Esau?
Okay, that was before. That was right. So it's in a Hanami. So we don't necessarily need Yosef's bones. We learn about Yosef. Yosef existed. There, Yosef was not yet born. In this, the Chazal that you're citing was when Yaakov Avinu did not yet have a child by the name of Yosef. Once Yosef was physically born, now he's ready to go fight. But Yosef was a baby then. Yosef was a child and was a toddler, an infant. What he's going to go fight against Esav, it means what Yosef represents is Koyach. So Yosef already lived a full life. He achieved what he was supposed to achieve. He's now in the Olam HaEmes. Bones? What are the bones going to do for you? Okay, so there's something to it. It's a reminder. The Aroin of Yosef went before Klal Yisrael. There were two Aroinos, the Aroin of the Hashem, the Luchos, and the Aroin of Yosef. Kim Zeh Mashakosu B'Zeh. The bones of Yosef were a spiritual reminder of what it means to be a Jew, what it means Mesiras Nefesh, what it means to be Oibin of the Nisyonis of Hashem. He represented the legacy of Klal Yisrael. It was inspirational. It was a spiritual zechus, and this was the ultimate weapon of Klal Yisrael. Okay, that is the popular drush. I just went over with you things that are very popular. Pshat, you know, Rashi, Vachamushim, the weapons. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says he also took weapons. Leiv Chacham Ikach Mitzvahs, this was a weapon. I want to take this idea that we just said, I want to twist it a little bit differently. I want to say, if the only thing that Yosef wanted to take out of Yosef was the bones, was the weapon, it's really not necessary to say ki hashbeya hishbia es b'nei Yisrael lemar. Yosef went and he put an oath upon the Jewish people. Why is it necessary? Okay, we know that Yosef made his children and his brothers swear that you'll take my bones out of Egypt with you when you leave Mitzrayim back in Chumash Bereishis. We don't need this information to be repeated. And we have a right to assume that if they took a shvuah, they would fulfill their shvuah. So, you know, you don't even need the whole thing altogether. By the way, does it say that they took out the bones of all of the other shvatim? Doesn't say that. But Rashi says it has to be because itchem. It has to be that since Yosef said to his brothers, I want you to take out my bones together with you, it means that Bnei Yisrael took out the bones, took out the bones together with Yosef. Their bones were also taken out of Egypt. So why then doesn't the pasuk tell us that information that there were 12 aroinos that were taken out of Egypt? It only says that Moshe took the bones of Yosef. The answer is the Torah doesn't have to tell you what they ate for breakfast every single day. It's not necessary to say every single little detail. It tells you certain things. It doesn't tell you certain things. So you can ask a lot of questions here. This whole thing is redundant. It's not necessary to say this altogether. And if you're going to say it, you don't have to go tell us you took a shavua. We can figure that out on our own. There's just too much information going on, being presented. And if you're going to present this information, you're opening up a can of worms. What about all the other bones? What about all the other shvatim? What's going on over here? The answer is, I want to say is, like we said before, Bnei Yisrael, they look for weapons, pistols, grenades, laser-guided missiles, all that type of stuff, tanks. Moshe said, I also need a weapon. I need a weapon. What am I going to find as a weapon, a spiritual weapon? Yosef, his bones? Is it tzaddik, a zchus? Right, that's what we said before. No. You know what the weapon that we're taking out with us is? Integrity. Integrity. That's our weapon. Do you know why I'm taking out these bones? Bones? What do I need bones for? Because we took a shavua. We took a shavua. We gave Yosef our word with a shavua. B'shem Hashem, we'll do what you want. We'll do it. A word is a word. The weapon that Klal Yisrael took out, the spiritual weapon that Klal Yisrael took out with them when they left Egypt was integrity. Moshe Rabbeinu looked for a weapon. Vayikach Moshe, he found the weapon, the bones of Yosef. Not because he cares about the bones are going to make much of a difference. You want to be mispalel in the zchus of Yosef, so open up a chumash and say, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Yosef. You want to go, have a zchus, so you don't need the bones to have the zchus. What's the zchus? And what about the shavua? You know something? I guarantee you can find 100 reasons why it was not necessary for Klal Yisrael at this moment in time to fulfill the shavua. We'll fulfill the shavua. Later, we'll send in a team. We'll first leave Egypt, get everyone to safety, all the women and children, and then when things are good, we'll have our own state. We'll have an embassy in Egypt, and we'll negotiate the release of the bones of Yosef because ki hashpeah hashpeah. Now it's so critical. Now when the Egyptians are. Ki goresh yigoresh eschem. When the Egyptians are telling the Jewish people, get out of this country now. Don't stay here one more moment. Ki garshu mimitzrayim v'lo yochlu hismamea v'gam tzeda l'asulachem. If they didn't have enough time to take provisions, to let their dough rise, they have time to go call the funeral service, to go dig up, reinter bones, and put it nice on a hearse and carry it outside. You don't even have time to make bread. And this is what you have time for? You can certainly find in Shulchan Aruch 100 legal loopholes why it was not necessary for them at this moment in time to fulfill the shavua that the children of Yosef took to their father to take their bones out. We'll take it out soon, as soon as we get around to it. It's not necessary to do it now. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. It's true, we don't even have time to let our dough rise. And they're shouting and they're screaming. But a word is a word. A word is a word. If you give someone your word that you're going to do something, that's what Yahadus is all about. They're living here in Egypt for all 210, every other day, another lie, I meant this, I meant that. Manipulation of doing this, doing that. One lie after another lie, one act of manipulation after another manipulation. Moshe Rabbeinu said the buck stops here. We're leaving Egypt, we're not like these people. We're not like the goyim. A word is a word. The flavor of what you say is the flavor of what you have to produce. You have to be true, not just to the word, but the spirit of your word. We told Yosef that when we leave Egypt, we're going to take his bones with us. We're going to take the bones with you. We're not going to come up with some convoluted interpretation that's going to pass mustard in the court system in order to legally, it should be legally binding that we fulfilled our shvua. We're going to fulfill the shvua. We're going to fulfill the shvua pshutoi kemashmo as an integrity. That is the ultimate weapon of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so let's look at how we started here. We started to review this. You said this is a very powerful. There's a yesoid here. God. We start off with the vart. Vachamusha means weapons. Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef. Another weapon. What's the popular drush? Inspiration. The bones of Yosef were an inspiration of Eshes Potifar. It was Zuchus Ovois. This is going to be our spiritual. We'll go to the Kvarim. We're going to go to the Kvar. We'll always have with us. You're in the Midbar. You know, you have a tzar. You have to go to a Kever. So where are you going to go in the Midbar? There are no Rebbes. There are no Rebbes to go to in the Midbar. There are no Beis HaKvaris. There's no Har HaZeisim. There's no Har HaMenuchos. There's no Meron in the desert. So where are you going to go to be Mespal in the desert? So you know what you do. You make an artificial cemetery in the desert. You take Yosef's bones. I will Yosef, and we'll daven in front of the bones. It'll be a zuchus avos. That's going to be our weapon. Okay, that's a very nice pshat. It's a much better pshat. The pshat is, you know what the weapon is? Forget about the bones. Don't go to the cemetery. Stay home. Don't know who asked you to go to the cemetery. Just be a good person. Be an honest, solid person to the core. You give your word. Then you promise something. Do what you say you're going to do. And do it with the connotation and the flavor of what you meant, what you said at the time. Don't look for legal loopholes and excuses and manipulate and change what you said like a politician 100 times back and forth. Moshe vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imo. You know why? You know why only Yosef's bones it says, not the other, because the other brothers, there's no shvur. Only Yosef's bones. Ki hashbeya. Hishbia es b'nei Yisrael lemar pokoid yivkolukim es v'hali semes atzmosai mizeh, and we accepted the shvua. So therefore, we have to be true to our word, and that is the ultimate weapon in this world: truth. Emes koi shikra loy koi. Okay, that's one idea. Now let's go to another idea. This week is called Shabbos Shira. Why is it called Shabbos Shira? Everyone knows. Az Yasher Moshe Avnei Yisrael Es Hashira Hazois. That's not the only Shira. What other Shira do we read this week's parasha? Devorah. Vatoshar Devorah. The miraculous war of Barak with Barak against Yavin. The general, the Sar Siva, I'm a Sisra, who is the general of the Melech of Yavin. This 900 chariots versus the 600 chariots. Yoel Eshes Chever Hakeni, how she came to, she fed him milk. He asked for water, she gave him milk. He fell asleep. She took out the peg of the tent and smashed his skull. Okay, the whole, it's a very, very long haftarah. And we read it, and there is a beautiful Shira. In fact, the way it's written in the Sefer Torah, in the Navi, it's written all just like Shiras Moshe, Ariach al Gabe Levena. So, Shabbos Shira, we've upgraded the Shira not just from Oz Yosher Moshe, we've upgraded it to Vatoshar Devoira. And Sashira Hazois, how does the Pasuk begin? The Pasuk in the Torah begins Vatoshar Devoira, Uvorok Ben Avinoyam, Bayoim Ahu, Lemor. They sang this song. Befroya pirois be Yisrael behisnadev om baruchu Hashem. Okay. But there's a third Shira in this parasha. And the third Shira is the song that was never known. Okay, you're very good. Let's do that. Vatosha, you're right, Miriam. Miriam sang, that's correct. Vatoshar Miriam. Ashur Hashem ki gover batikach Miriam is a toif. A toif biyada, the drum, all the drush, the same toif that she used when her parents got married. It has its own unique lessons. So far, very good. We have already three shiras. The shir of Moshe, the shir of Miriam, the shir of Devoira. Each one of these shiras is unique in what it's coming to teach us. But there's a third shira. There's a fourth Shira. There's a fourth Shira that was never sung. V'loy karav ze el ze kol halayla. The Pshuta Shel Mikra, when the Egyptians were chasing after Klal Yisrael, Hashem put the Amud He'onon and the Malach Elokim between the Machane Yisrael and Machane Mitzrayim, in order to ensure V'loy karav ze el ze, they should not come near one other, we should be protected. Chazal pick up upon the words of the Pasuk V'loy karav ze el ze, it's not in Rash, but it's in the Medrash. V'loy karav ze el ze, isn't that what it says in Sefer Yeshaya, where it says V'koro ze el ze V'yomar kadosh, kadosh, kadosh? The Malachim sing Shira. Yes, that's what the Pasuk here means, that at the time when Klal Yisrael were leaving Egypt, the Malachi Hashores wanted to sing Shira as they witnessed this incredible event of Yitzias Mitzrayim Kriyas Yamsuf. And Hashem said, no, I do not give you permission to sing Shira. V'loy karav zelzeh. Why? Masay yodai tovu bayom v'atem oimim shira. The Egyptians, they're my creation. They are been created in the Tzelem Elokim. They're miserable failures. Miserable failures. They've brought upon this world enormous suffering. They tried to deny Hashem's existence. Mila mi Hashem le'yadati yes Hashem. But they're still my creation. And when my creation is destroyed, it's not a time to sing Shira. So in essence, this week it's Parsha Shira. There are four Shiras. Shiras Oz Yoshim Moshe. Oz, at that time, was the Shira of Miriam. The Shira of Devorah. And the Shira that was never sung. The Shira of Moshe is really a Shira for the future. It was just a practice run. The Kriyas Yamsuf Yitzias Mitzrayim was just foreshadowing of what's coming in the future. How do we know that? Oz, Yoshir, Yoshir's B'loshoin Rab, Osid, Osid, Oz then, when? Yoshir will sing Moshe Uvinei Yisrael. Moshe will come back to life, Tchias HaMesim. Klal Yisrael will be present and witness the Geula, the ultimate redemption. And then they're going to sing it for real. This was just practice. It was a practice session for what's really coming in the future. Devoira, it was the past. Vatashar Devoira. Devoira, in fact, she sang over what happened. She gave off a song for an event that happened in the past. And what about Miriam? Now that you mentioned Miriam, Atikach Miriam Anavia Achleis Arnes Atoy B'yoda Vateitzena Chol Hanashim Achanecha Bisvim Cholos Vatan Lecha Miriam. So it's the present. It's interesting, very interesting that Miriam, it's not Vatoshar, it's Shiru, singing the present. Very interesting. It's the present. The present. Moshe is the future. Devorah is the past. Miriam is the present. Three different types of song. In Shemayim, Hoya, Hoyve, V'yiyeh. Yudke Vavke is the composite, Hashem's name, Hoya, Hoyve, V'yiyeh. It's everything together. Past, present, and future. The Malachi Hasharis did not sing. There's a song that accompanies Moshe, the future, a song that accompanies Miriam, a song that accompanies Devorah, that's not sung. Because it could have been better. It should have been better. Even though many times in life we succeed and things go our way and we are filled with simcha and joy and happiness, but unfortunately we don't live in a perfect world and more often than not, there's collateral damage. Okay, you go to a chasna, you see a chasna and kala, they're so happy. You know, there are people, chasna and kala may have dated, that are not very happy that day because they wanted to marry either the chassan or the kala. Shlich did not work out for them. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And sometimes in this shlich, maybe one of the parents or the grandparents is not happy with the shlich. The shlich is being made against someone's will. So there's always, that's life. Listen, you know, in love and war, what is the expression?
All is fair in love and war.
All is fair in love and war. That's the world. The world is always collateral damage. Nothing in this world is perfect. There's the shira you sing in the past, the shira in the present, and the shira in the future. But there's also an obligation to take into consideration the shira that's not being sung. Because it's not a perfect world. And what is the nafkamina? Sensitivity. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the way life goes. But don't rub it in. Don't go. The chassan doesn't call up on the day of his wedding all of his exes, take out his black book, and go call them all up and say, ha ha, I'm getting married and not you. You don't do that. Okay, now that's obviously a little bit extreme, but you know, there are things that are not so extreme, that are very subtle, which is also a place for sensitivity. Every time there's shira of the past, the present, and the future, in this world, Masse Yodai Tovu Bayom, Vyatem Oimim Shira, there's a song, there's a person who suffers collateral damage that's not singing shira. And there's nothing we can do about that. That's the way it is. But at least open up your mind to be sensitive. Sensitivity is key. It's an ethical demand that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of every single creature, even to the Malachi Hashareis. And that is all included in Shira. Shabbos Shira, the four songs. The song of the past, the present, the future, and the song that we're not going to sing. Because we're sensitive to the tsar that exists in this world for the people who don't have that opportunity to join us in song. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's dwell upon this idea of Leikotav Zelzel, an entirely different angle. Leikotav Zelzel, I once told you about a while ago, this Zvar was taught to me by Rav Simcha Soloveitchik. But there's another part that he didn't tell me, but the basic Zvar is a very deep, deep idea. Throughout Chazal, we refer to Hashem by the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who is holy, and it's blessed. HaKadosh, he's holy. Blessed is he. If you only knew the term God, G-O-D, in English, and you mastered the Hebrew language, and you never saw a Maimon Chazal, and you were given the task to write, to describe Hashem, come up with an expression of to describe Hashem that we can use colloquially to have Hashem, instead of saying God, in Hebrew, what would you say? I don't know. You walk around the streets, ask people to come up with different ways. It's very unlikely anyone in this world would come up with this expression, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's in Chazal, it's in the Gemara, it's in the Medrash, it's in the Haggadah. In Haggadah, you say the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu at least five times, something like that. Who invented this expression? I told this to you, I wanted to spend a lot of time on this idea. Who invented this expression? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean? So Rav Simcha Soloveitchik explained to me, and it's an incredible insight, there are two Nevi'im who saw God, actually saw Hashem. Ki lo yirani ha'odom, they defied what it says in the Pasuk, ki lo yirani ha'odom v'chai. Who are the two Nevi'im who saw Hashem, defied ki lo yirani? Yeshaya and Yechezkel. We have what's called the Maisei Merkava. Seeing Vostutzuch in Shemayim, what's going on in Shemayim. Next week's parasha, we read next week from the Haftarah from Yeshaya. Yeshaya sees Hashem. And he says a couple of words in his description. Yechezkel lived in Bavel, and he also saw Hashem. And he has a lot more elaborate description of what he saw. We read that Haftarah on the first night of Shavuos, the first day of Shavuos. When Yeshaya describes Hashem, he says, he saw in Shemaim the Malachim were saying, V'kara ze el ze v'yomar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. When Yechezkel saw Hashem in Bavel, he doesn't say anywhere in that, and they're speaking Kadosh Kadosh. It says he saw Baruch Kivoid Hashem Nimikoimai. We in davening every single day in Kedusha the Sidra, we take these two, we take the Nevuah of Yeshaya and the Nevuah of Yechezkel, we put it together in one sandwich, we don't even know what we're doing. We're taking two different Nevi'im who lived in two different times. Yeshaya lived, 200 years before Yechezkel? And Yeshaya lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when everything was in Yerushalayim. And Yechezkel lived at already time of Golos, already during the time of Golos in Chutz Li'aretz, in Bavel. Two different times, two different places. One has absolutely nothing to do with the other, and we sandwich them into Kedusha de Sidra and every Shimon Esrei. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Baruch Kivayit Hashem in Mekaymai. And then we say Hashem Yimloch Li'olam V'olam, which comes from this week's parasha. This week's parasha, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam V'olam. We say Hashem Yimloch. And those are the last words of the Shira. According to most opinions, even though another pasuk goes on, Recham Levena, but the last words are really Hashem Yimloch Li'olam V'olam. How can you sandwich these two together? They're really very different. Why are they very different? Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh was said in a state of utter clarity. You can walk in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is 100% operational. With Korbanos in the time of Yeshaya, after certainly at a certain time of the time of Chizkiah, when they did Tshuva, Chizkiah, he brought around an incredible. There was no greater time. That was the time of Torah. Torah was in its prime in the time of Chizkiyahu. You can see Hashem. You can touch Him. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yimamish can touch Hashem. Yechezkel lived. The time of Golos, the Churban was unfolding before their eyes. The Shechina was leaving the Beis HaMikdash. The Avodah Zarah, the Shlichas Damim, and the Gilui Arayis was rampant. Hashem was, forget about you people, I'm out of here. The Shechina left. The Jews were taken to Golos 11 years before. They were there in Bavel. They were suffering. Where is Hashem? Where did He disappear? Where did He go? All of a sudden, the heavens open up, and Yechezkel says, Baruch Kivod Hashem Mimikoimai, wherever he is, from his place. Where his place is, I don't know, because it's now Golos. We're living in Golos. I can't put my finger on it. I can't define it. Wherever his Makoim is, it is. Because we're in Golos now. In Golos, you got to really have emunah. But I see it. I see that Hashem is still there. Can I tell you exactly where He is? No, because it's Golos. Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai. Now, if you would ask the average person, instead of two different gods, there's a God of Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivokos, Miloi Chol Aretz Kivoida. Miloi. Yeshaya. Oh, it's Miloi. It's, I can touch it. Hashem is right here. I can shake His hand. Yechezkel. It's a different God. Mimikoimai, a God that operates behind closed doors. Mysterious God. You can't get an appointment to talk to Him. You can't even see Him. Then there is Klal Yisrael. Then there is a word, who. You know what the word who means in the Gemara? It's all the same. The term HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a composite of the revelation of Hashem from the perspective of Yeshaya, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The word Baruch comes from Yechezkel. Baruch, Kivoid Hashem in Mekoimoi, and the word who is, it's all the same. Just because sometimes Hashem is Meloi Chol Aretz Kivoidai, and sometimes Hashem is invisible, can't find him. Mekoimoi, where is Ayem Mekoim Kivoidai, the Malach? Where is he? I don't know. But he's there somewhere. Who? It's all the same. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the same Ribbono Shel Olam, whether he was Megala himself to what is that. That is the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh is Yirmiyah, Baruch is Yechezkel. We are left Kadosh is Yeshaya. Kadosh is Yeshaya, Baruch is Yechezkel, and we're left, what? How could there be two different revelations, one hiding, one who? Not Akasha. Hashem is complex. Sometimes he reveals himself to us, and sometimes he hides himself. It's who? It's all the same. That's the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we come to Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, what happens? Klal Yisrael, the four shiur. They're telling you a totally different part now. The four shiurahs, right? We're talking the shiurahs. They sang that Klal Yisrael says shira, Oz Yoshe, Moshe, Miriam. Bikshu malachei hashareis loy mashira. Pasik v'loy kodav zel zeh. But we want to say shira Hashem. Hashem only prevented them from saying shira the kodosh. The pasik v'koro zeh el zeh v'yomar is Yeshaya. Yeshaya. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But the pasuk of Baruch Kivoid Hashem in Mekoimoi, that's not part of Vleikarav Ze El Ze. This expression, Vleikarav Ze El Ze, is the expression that is used in the prophecy of Yeshaya when he saw Hashem in the gather of Kadosh Miloi Chol Aretz Kivoidai. How could Hashem be called Miloi Chol Aretz Kivoidai when Masa Yodai Tavu Bayom? If my creatures are being destroyed, you cannot say that my honor is Miloi Chol Aretz, fills up the entire earth. These are my creatures. They're being obliterated. You can't go say it's not true. It's Sheker. But to say, for the Malachi Hashores, to say Shira Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai, and then to go and Aye Mikoim Kivoida, where is Hashem's covered? I don't know. Luma Samishabchim Yoimrim. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere. Baruch Hashem Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoim, wherever it is that the Malachi Hashores can still say. So when it says here, they did not, that Bikshu Malachi Hashareis, Hashem, he always gives you what you want. You know the expression, be careful for what you pray for. You might just get it. Be careful. If the Malachi Hashareis Bikshu Loim Hashira, you don't think Hashem is going to be nice and let them sing Shira? Of course they could sing Shira. But Hashem says, just don't say the Kodosh. V'loi Korav Zelza, because Masa Yitav Bayam. But even at this moment in time, when the Egyptians are drowning, it's still a zman of, we don't understand how this can happen. But Hashem, His presence is always there. No matter what the situation is, Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mimikoimai. Okay, and maybe that's why, maybe at the end of the Shira, it says, the end of the Shira, what does it say? It says, Hashem Yimloich Le'olam Vo'et. Yimloich, Chazal says, in the future tense. Klal Yisrael, Chazal criticized Klal Yisrael, they should have said Hashem Melech in the present tense. Because they said the future tense was an indication there's something lacking. There's something missing. So why is that so? Why indeed did the Klal Yisrael at the end of the shiur, they only have the ability to say Hashem in the future? Hashem Yimloich. They should have said Hashem Melech in the present tense. Perhaps it all ties into the fact that Hashem says to the Malachim, you can't say Kadosh. Miloy Cholaretz. Masa Yodai Tovu Bayam. There's something lacking. Something is lacking. It's not a who. You don't have the full complement. The full complement, and therefore this fullness of being in Kadosh, 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 together with Baruch Kivoid, who? That can only come in the future, in the times of Mashiach Hashem, Yimloich Li Olam Voed. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah.
Could the who be referring to the third Navi?
Who's the third Navi?
Moshe didn't
see Hashem.
Moshe
I gotta think about it. Okay, you're saying another idea. You're saying the who is another Navi. There's a third Navi. You want to say that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, I don't know. I gotta think about it. We have here the two. There's Kadosh and there's Baruch, Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Hu. They're different. It's all the same. Okay, you're saying another idea which we have to think about. We have to think about. Work that out. So let's go now to another idea. Okay, let's a couple of different ideas. Let's just discuss. This idea I want to tell you now is an incomplete idea. I believe there's a lot of truth to it, but I have not worked out all the details. And I'll leave that for you to think about how to work out all the details. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Rashi tells us they left Mitzrayim, they're on the way out, everything is fine and good. And then all of a sudden there was a change of heart. Pasukei, it says, "Vayugal lemelech Mitzrayim ki voracham." They fled. Vayihafech levav paro vaavadav el ha'am, concerning the Jewish people. Vayemam asayisalsinu ki shilachnu estis from yavdenu. Vayesor esrichbo v'yes. Here's the main words: Amoy his nation, lokach imoy. He took with him. It's a very critical Rashi. All of the yisoidos of everything in Yadus is in Rashi. Rashi is the most fundamental thing to learn, and everything is here. Rashi says, "Vayafoich nepach mimashu hoya sheomar lechem kumutzum techami." It was. He changed his mind. Paro originally said to Klal Yisrael, to Moshe and Aaron, "Get out. Get out of here. Go." He changed his mind. Vavadov, v'nepach levavadov. Now here's the words of Rashi. Shari l'sha'ovar hoyu omim loy ad mosai yezelan l'mokesh. V'yachshav now, nepchu lirdoif achareihem b'shvil mimoinam shehish ilum, what they have lent them, me'avdeinu, me'avoid oisanu. If you look at this Rashi very carefully, it appears there were two different agendas taking place simultaneously as the nation of Egypt pursued Klal Yisrael. Paro and his army led, and in tow was the whole nation of Egypt, running after Klal Yisrael. Everyone changed their mind. But there were two different groups. Paro changed his mind, Rashi doesn't tell us, because of the money. Money wasn't the issue. It wasn't because they were slaves, they contribute to society. Rashi doesn't tell us anything. But if you go back to the Pesuk in Parshas Shemos and Parshas Va'erot, Bo, it's pretty clear, it was all about his honor, kavod. Paro's, "Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma B'Kolam. I'm God! I'm the God. I go to the Nile. I don't go to the Beis Hakisei. Everyone worships me. How could there be another God in this world besides me? I am everything. I'm God." It was just about kavod, power. The Egyptians couldn't care less, the people, about power and kavod. They don't have time for this, Mishagas. Nonsense, covered, coming and bowing down to you. Who has to come bow down and kiss you and bow down to you? Who's interested? I have much bigger problems. I need money to feed my children. I got to marry them off. I got to scrape together a couple of bucks to survive in this world. I have a good slave. He brings in the dough. I lent this Jew $100,000. I gave him my Rolex watch and my jewelry and my smartphone. I want it back. Let's talk tachlis. Tachlis. There were two very different agendas coinciding as the Egyptian nation pursued Klal Yisrael. Paro was all about my honor, my dignity, my power. The average Joe who was following along and trying to pursue the Jewish, they couldn't care less about that. I want my money back. I love money. I want money. I want to be rich. I want to be successful. These Jews, they brought me success. They were my slaves. They have all my possessions. I want it back. Two different frames of mind. The Jews were terrified. They look, they look behind, they see who's running after them. Pyro's running, and the Egyptians are running. And they know, why is Pyro running? Kavod, his honor is at stake. What are they going to write about him in history? Why are the Egyptians running after the Jewish people? Why are they running after the Jewish people, the Egyptians? Because they want money. They want their money back. If you were a Jew and you saw both of these groups running after you, which one would you be more afraid of? You have to put yourself in the mind of a Jew who was a slave for 210 years, 87 years, whatever it was, and you turn around and you see behind you two groups were pursuing you. Which one would terrorize you? Which one would shake you to the core and you would give up? And which one would you say, you could run. Don't worry, I'll outrun you. Hashem is on my side. So there's a very basic, if you look very carefully, I don't remember all the details, but if you look very carefully in the Chumash, you'll notice there are a lot of different terms that are being used over and over, different types. There's a term called Machane Mitzrayim. And then there's a term Mitzrayim. There's a term Bimitzrayim. You have to. I'm not going to go through all the details. I want to tell you other things, but they have different terms. One thing I do want to point out that I think really opens up that there's a lot of truth to this idea and to develop it further. There's a very basic question which all the commentators ask, and it's very hard to get a good answer. Par Hikriv, he was coming close. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael l'seinim v'hinei Mitzrayim lo'yaseach areihem. Vayiru me'oid. They were terrified. What did they do? Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. They davened. And this is one of the most famous Amari Chazal, Tavsu umnis avoysam. Just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they cried out to Hashem in response. It was under control. They were terrified, but it was under control. We know how to deal with this. This is not the first time. We know how to deal with this situation. Okay, very good. Congratulations. Excellent. And the very next pasuk it says, "Vayomer el Moshe, Hamibli ani kvar b'Mitzrayim, lekachtanu lamus b'midbar, mazoyso sisulanu liotzanu b'Mitzrayim." What? You dive into the whole Yom Kippur, right? The whole Yom Kippur, and the eel is over, and you walk out of Shul and saying, "We'd be better off dead." When you come out of Yom Kippur, you're on a high. You're optimistic. You've davened. These two psukim are such opposites. How in the world, after the nobility of Klal Yisrael to say Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael l'Hashem, and the beautiful Mamori Chazal, they attach themselves to the Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and they daven with such sincerity, and the next words, vulgar complaints, come out of their mouths to say to Moshe, what did you do to us? We would have been better off dead in Egypt. Are there not enough cemeteries in Egypt? What? How do you go mikotze elakotze in without even going through another pasuk? The answer is, there were two different fears. There was the fear of the Egyptians coming after you, these bloodthirsty, wicked people who are coming for your money. And then there was the fear of Paro coming to outsmart Hashem. Mi Hashem asher eshma b'koyloi. When they saw Paro Hikriv, they know Paro, they know. An egomaniac, meshugana. He thinks he's God. He's going to outsmart Hashem. Listen, God, we know about Hashem. Don't try to fool us. This is Ribbono Shel Olam. He runs the world. You're a puppet. You're a nothing. You're going to come after us in a religious war. In a religious war. You're going to come after us with your Yitzelim in the name of a God to come and outsmart Hashem? Don't worry. Take a cold shower. We have nothing to worry about. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Tafsu umnis avos. They're okay. But then when they turned around again and they saw a bunch of thugs who are irreligious, pagans, lowlives, bloodthirsty people who just love money, a lust for money, coming to take my few dollars and stab me for 25 cents, to take off my clothing. This is something different. This is not a religious war. This is just a bunch of lowlives. This is something that Klal Yisrael were not prepared for. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they dealt with this, but not on this scale. They dealt primarily with religious wars. Nimrod, Yitzhak, the Akedah, Yaakov Avinu, didn't deal with thugs. He dealt with other also religious matters. He made a shur to Hashem, and Yelakim Imad, Yushmarani, B'derech. It was more religious. It wasn't, you'll tell me, maybe with Esav a little bit, but it was over the brachos. It was more religious. Dealing here with something that they were not prepared for. When angry thugs are coming to eat you up just for your money, the Crusades, what are the Crusades all about? Wasn't that, I mean, the story, there's a lot, you know, a lot of, but the vast majority of the people that joined the bandwagon were not, they for sure were not in it for the religion. It was just an just money, to pillage, to do whatever they want, hefkerus. Religion, couldn't care less about religion, just a tool to do whatever you want in this world. This they were not prepared for. It's in response to this, they said, Moshe, there are not enough graves in Egypt. We have to go die over here by these bloodthirsty monsters because they want a few dollars from us. What did you do to us? That explains why these two psukim are back to back. Paro Hikrif. Paro was coming close. What did they see? They didn't just see Paro coming close. They saw Mitzrayim. They were afraid of both. Of Paro, his agenda, and he was afraid of the Esamoi, Lokach Imoi. Different agendas. In response to Paro, Vayomil Moshe, Paro, we're okay. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem, we have been trained. We have been trained, we're a good soldier. We've been trained for this situation, there's nothing to be afraid of. We know what to do. Tofsu umnes avoysam. But for the problem of the thugs, that we've not been trained for. That, we have to put up a white flag. For that, they said to Moshe, Moshe, what did you do to us? Now, you take this idea, you have to work very hard, but you're always going to see in the psukim, we don't have time, repetition. And when you study the words, it becomes clear there's a pattern. There's a double response to everything that's taking place. And Rashi, in the very beginning, tells us there are two agendas. What do you want? Two agendas over here. There is Paro and Amo. Paro was because of Mi Hashem. Amo is money, pure money. And just to conclude the very end, it's really, there are three. I mean, you have to work this out, but look at the very, very end. Vayosha. What's the very end? Vayosha, we say this in davening every day. Vayosha Hashem, Vayomahu es Yisrael miyad Mitzrayim. Period. Hashem saved us. Then it says, Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim, Mace al Sfas Hayam. Okay, let's okay. Two different. There's a lot of repetition here. I mean, what's going on over here? If they're dead, so certainly if they're dead, so certainly Hashem saved us from them. It appears there are two different elements. They saw the defeat of the arrogance of the denial of Hashem, and they saw that Hashem protects Klal Yisrael from thugs, from bloodthirsty monsters. The next pasuk, Vayari Yisrael es Hayod Hagidoyla Asher Osa Hashem Bimitzrayim. Okay, then they saw the Yod Hagidoyla Asher Osa Hashem Bimitzrayim, and then the second expression, Vayiru'u Ha'omes Hashem, they feared Hashem, Vayaminu Bahashem Uvimosha Avdo. You can break it up in many different ways. There are many different, but I didn't really get a chance to go to really work on it more. But the repetition is overwhelming. And if Rashi already in the beginning of the parasha tells us that there were at least two agendas, and we do see a lot of repetition, there is definitely an opening in the psukim to understand that the salvation that Klal Yisrael experienced was multidimensional. And in response to Paro's agenda, they saw that particular solution, salvation. In regard to this agenda, they saw a different. Maybe when it says Vayiru Hames Hashem, let's say the last expression, that refers to they recognized that Hashem listened to their prayers and defeated Paro. Indeed, now it is known that Hashem is the Melech, not Paro. And in regard to Moshe telling them that if you trust in Hashem, you have nothing to worry about. The thugs and the mafia can't get their hands on you. Vayaminu b'Hashem uv Moshe avdo. That dimension of Emunah was also firmly established with the success of Kriyas Yamsuf. And you take that pattern and go through all the psukim, you'll see that this idea appears again and again. Yeah.
I think it's just the opposite. It's my own feeling. If somebody's after you because of your money, there's one thing you should do. Give it to
give
them.
It.
But if it's a religious war...
Okay, it's the same idea. It's a different approach. In Hanami, it depends on what the situation is, of course. When you have no defense, of course, save your life. Pikuach nefesh, of course. But in this situation, they were being told, no. They were being told, as you work for 210 years, and Moshe told them, no, you're not giving back your money to them. You're going to keep it. And then at this point, anyway, any tool, they're going to kill you anyway at this point in time. They don't care. Whatever it was, or they can enslave you. It's a point beyond return. But of course, there are two different types of tzaros that clients will face. More than two different types of tzaros. One is when they want our money, and one is when they want to kill us. And each one demands a different response. To conclude, one last short thing. Okay, very, very short thing. Okay, this is another controversial thing, which is going to be half-baked. Let you think about it. Another controversial thing. There's an incredible pasuk in the beginning of the Torah parsha. The concept called no pain, no gain. Everyone knows that expression?
Uh-huh.
No pain, no gain. This is Paro sent out the people. He b'shalach Paro esam. Gei gezuntahez. Go. You're free to go. Go, go, go. His money. Go. Pray for us also. Get out of here. Then, as they're traveling, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, I want you to go backwards. And I want to tell you what's going to happen. I want to tell you what the sequence of events. He says to Moshe, I want you to go lifnei Baal Tzifon. Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'yashuvu. Go backwards. V'yachin lifnei piachi rois. Bein migdol v'en hayom. Lifnei Baal Tzifon. An idol. Nicho sachanu al hayom. Now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I know how Paro works. V'yomar Paro lifnei Yisrael nevuchim heim ba'aretz. They're enclosed. So garlim ha-midbar. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be mechazek paro, v'chizak yisle paro, v'radaf acharei hem. After them. As I saw one of the commentators ask a question that is so heavily loaded, you get a headache from this question. Why did Hashem say, v'radaf acharei hem? With Moshe, you're not included in Klal Yisrael. V'radaf acharei chem, it should say. If you were writing this pasuk, I guarantee you, you would write Verodaf, Paro, let you go, Gamatem, Gam B'nei Yisrael. Hashem said, Paro said to Moshe Aaron, get out of here. L'chu gam atem, you, Moshe and Aaron, v'gam Yisrael. Get out of here. Now you're going to travel, you're going to go backwards. V'chizakti yisrei paro v'rodav. He's going to chase achareihem, after them, but not you. What? Moshe is not part of them? So I don't know what to say about this. This is very, very, this is heavy duty stuff. But I want to say one idea which may be totally crazy, but Enochanami. Paro is not going after Moshe. Paro met his match. Paro knows, I'm not going to start up with the king. In war, you know, they don't always go, we have a war. In the United States, they don't always go look to take out the leadership. It's not necessarily in their best interest to do something like that. You have to know the battle. You got to know the strategy. What is the strategy? What's the goal? What's the end game? Paro at this point says, Moshe, you have a pass. I've given direct orders to every single soldier not to touch. He had that by Yirmiyah. Nebuchadnezzar gave an order that no one should dare touch Yirmiyah. Every Jew, kill them. Wipe them out. Yirmiyah, stay a million miles away from him and help him. Whatever he wants, give him. Don't chat with Yirmiyah. Same thing. V'rodaf acharehem, the Jewish people. Moshe, I guarantee you, par after all this, he's not going to start up with you anymore. So what does that mean? The whole event of Kriyas Yamsuf, the whole saga, the whole Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really experience it. Because nothing would have happened to him. He would have survived no matter what. If they would come to the battlefield, Moshe goes in a golden chariot. Moshe is not going to be harmed. The only ones that were in danger, that went through the trauma of being killed and being wiped out, was Klal Yisrael and not Moshe. Isn't that what comes out? And that takes us further. Who was the only one that was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu, the chait of the Memeriva. You know, it's a process. There are a lot of little pieces of the puzzle which add up. Chai Yisrael could have gone in. They died in the Midbar, whatever it was, because of other problems, other issues. But Moshe, from the very beginning already, was already not meant to go into Eretz Yisrael. Ish Mitzri, Chazal say, why? He called himself an Ish Mitzri. There are many things Chazal say contributed to the fact that Moshe did not go into Eretz Yisrael. Is this another piece of that puzzle? No pain, no gain. The Jewish people suffered. Their lives were on the line. It was miraculous that they were able to survive and their enemies. Moshe was not in danger. V'radam achareihem. You never felt the tsar of what it meant to leave Egypt. Because you were not a marked man. Not in the beginning, not at the end. You know, in the beginning, Moshe, he grew up in the palace. And then he ran away because of that Maisa. Then he came back. He already was not part of it. He wasn't serving. And now even in the leaving, the exodus, Moshe Rabbeinu was not threatened. Hashem himself said, they're not going to run after you, Moshe. V'rodaf achareihem. V'loy achareichem. No pain, no gain. He did not ultimately lead to the ultimate entry into Eretz Yisrael. Oh, you'll say, you can't say that because it says in the Pasuk, it's because of the Mei Meriva. That's the main reason. But Chazal also give other reasons. They say it's because Moshe is an Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu Miyado Ivri. You did not appreciate that you came from, that you are Yosef. That's what the bones. That Chazal said reference to the bone, because he contributed different things together. Yosef says an Ivri. Moshe said, Ish Mitzri. You don't want to appreciate that you're an Ivri? You call yourself a Mitzri? Oh, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael so fast. At least not your bones. You see here another element which is definitely has to contribute to the reality of that he did not fully experience this like the average person whose life was ran. Have a wonderful Shabbat Shira.